I begin meditation by focusing upon your breath, holding powerful mindfulness on the object, the sensation of the air entering and leaving your nostrils. So powerful, like as if your mother is being swept away in a river and you're holding a rope attached to her. So you're not going to let go of that rope, you will hold it with all of your power. Similarly, hold the object of concentration, the sensation of the air entering and leaving the nostrils, with that same strength of mindfulness. And now remember your past meditations on bodhicitta and instantaneously establish your mind in the aspect of bodhicitta, the determination to achieve your full potential of enlightenment in order to guide all mother sentient beings out of suffering. And now we do analytic meditation on the Chittamatran view. In 1979, at a public talk in the Architecture Theatre at Melbourne University, a woman asked Lama Thupten Yeshe, "What is karma?" And Lama Yeshe replied, "You are karma." There was silence. What Lama meant was that everything about us, our body, our mind, the experiences of our life, are conditioned by karma. Karma is the cause and effect process that is the creative force of the entire universe that we experience. Actions associated with ignorance of ultimate reality create impressions called karmic potencies upon a special part of the mind called the mind basis of all. An inattentive consciousness which functions to bear the karmic imprints from moment to moment, from life to life. A karmic imprint or potential is neither form nor consciousness. But it has the potential to give rise to both form and consciousness. The arising of every experience in life comes from the common substantial cause which gives rise to both the mind experiencing sensory objects and the sensory objects themselves. So in this way we say that the internal mind is the same substance, the same nature as the objects experienced by the sensory minds. But it does not mean that the object is mind. just as one piece of gold can be shaped into two objects, a fork and a spoon, they have the same nature of gold, but they're different. Different functions, different appearance. Although they have the same nature, a fork is not the same as a spoon. If it were, then every fork would be a spoon, every spoon would be a fork. But that's not the case. When Lameshi said, "You are karma," meaning our body, our mind, our life is karma. The continual ripening of a vast store of karmic potentials carried upon the mind basis of all. The mental consciousness has both ignorance and knowledge. Actions associated with ignorance establish karmic imprints. Even conventional knowledge associated with ignorance creates karmic imprints, but on the virtuous side, leading to happier rebirths, happier experiences in those rebirths. Even though our present lives are a totality of the expression of karma, we are not held in the prison of karma forever. Because knowledge of conventional reality and the pursuit of concentration based upon pure morality with the cultivation of greater knowledge leading to wisdom . We can emerge from the prison of karma. By extinguishing ignorance, so that our actions no longer create the cause for samsara, but create the cause for liberation and enlightenment. So reflect upon your own situation in life, being a pure manifestation of karma. And then understand how you can break free from the limitations of karma. And attain your full potential of enlightenment. When we talk about things experienced in common, such as the table, a vase, or the world itself, the common object is experienced by multiple people in a general way. We label collective karma. They have ripening of similar but not identical karmic potencies. To experience something, so when we don't analyze what each individual sees in particular, we can talk about a common object. But that common object is not the essence of mind. The essence of mind in the object is what each individual perceives. For example, if you're watching a football game and one player tackles another player, the two supporters listen, kill the supporter, sees a clear push in the back, the Collingwood supporter sees a fair tackle. Of course, the Collingwood supporter is mistaken. But but we have our own take on the world, and that take is determined by our karma. Even the knowledge that we've gained is acquired through a karmic propensity to be attracted to certain teachings, and even a karmic propensity to understand them. But our knowledge itself is not karma. It is acquired in dependence upon karma. And it can give rise to the aspiration to understand reality. So we need karma to meet the teachings, to meet a teacher, a qualified teacher. We need the karma to establish and maintain pure morality. We need the karma to gain single point of concentration, karma abiding, to nurture our knowledge into wisdom, directly seeing reality. So in this way we use karma to destroy karma. We need karma to overcome our samsara, which is created by karma. the destruction of karma brings an end to the mind basis of all. Which becomes transformed into the mirror-like wisdom of a Buddha. This indicates the process of transforming the mind from ignorance to enlightenment. So dedicate the energy of this meditation to the purpose of, by thinking that may I deeply study the Chittamatran view and understand the subtlety in its presentation. Which is the necessary precursor of understanding to realizing the most profound middle way view. In order that I can quickly follow the path to enlightenment. Then you can gradually relax and stop the meditation. Thank you.